Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Okay, with no help. Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Sounds like we're getting there. Sounds pretty good. All right, you may be seated. Again, in the book of Colossians, the focus is Jesus Christ. The focus is on Jesus, the promised Messiah, who he is and how he needs to be central in all things. Colossians 1:18 is probably the theme of the book. The verse we looked at last week about being complete in him complements that so much. That he is all we need. He is everything that there is. Let's pray as we look into God's Word today. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your Word that it is truth. Father, we ask that you would work in our hearts and our lives today. That you would give us a greater understanding of who Jesus is, the miracle of his death and resurrection for us. That the penalty for sin was paid for, that we can be complete in him. Father, teach us today by your Spirit and by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul has just said to guard against, be careful, don't listen to the empty philosophies of the world, the elementary principles. And then starting in verse 16 of chapter 2, he gets into more specifics, more things that we need to avoid, things that we need to be careful of, things that can often pull us away. That if we follow these things, if we listen to those that do, it can very frequently change our thinking to, well, I need Jesus plus this. I need Jesus plus he is the head of the body. That he would come to have first place in everything. He's all we need. We are complete in him. Verse 16 says, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We start off with the word therefore, which is an instant signal that we've got a little shift. Or a continuance, or again, you need to look at the reason that that is therefore. Therefore, more practical applications are coming. Specifics that he hasn't dealt with yet. Because he just said we're complete in Christ. Therefore, he says, not to judge. Not to judge one another. Now, there is a time of discernment, a time when we need to evaluate. But in these circumstances here, the idea is negative. The idea is of condemning someone else. Romans 2:1 says, everyone who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. Men's Bible study this week, we looked at Romans chapter 14, and it talks about this. We've got a continuation of backing up and an agreement, not judging, particularly in the areas of eating and special days. It says, don't let anyone condemn you. Don't let anyone judge you with eating or with special days. What's that? It says, in regard to food or drink, or in respect to festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. At the time when Paul wrote this, we have the Jewish laws of eating. Kosher food that we have today. There were specific ways that food had to be prepared. That was part of it. The Jews had certain holidays and certain days that were more important than others. And there were those that were trying to force that onto the Gentiles. You need to eat like we do. You need to practice and do the rituals that we do. And what Paul is saying is those aren't the important things. The pagans were doing the same things in their idol worship. There were certain things involved in practices with their eating, and they had certain festivals and days. And he's saying, don't let people judge you by what you do on those days. Legalism is really what he's talking about. Do's and don'ts. Things that that people say you should do. Things that people say you shouldn't do. Man-made rules. The Jewish system was instituted by God in the Old Testament. We read about it in Exodus and Leviticus. And those Pentateuch books, the first five books, the law, we read about those there, the do's and the don'ts. But by this time, 1,500 years later, those had become a regimented set of rules. It had taken over. The grace that was to be seen in and through that, the picture of Christ that was coming, was lost. And it had become, if you eat this and don't eat that, and you do this on this day, and you don't do that on that day, everything's good. What Paul says here is, don't let that list of do's and don'ts be added to your trust in the Savior. Jesus is all we need. We don't have to eat certain things or not eat certain things. We don't have to celebrate certain things or not celebrate certain things. He's saying Jesus is all we need. Those do's and don'ts shouldn't affect us. Don't let anyone act as your judge. We are forgiven. Those of us who have repented and trusted Jesus as our Savior, that's it. Okay, we don't come to that point where we see our need of a Savior and we repent and we turn to Him and ask Him to come into our life, and then we got to start doing. Because that wasn't enough. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It's done. It's over. We don't need to add to. And that's what was happening with the Colossians. Well, you eat cupcakes for breakfast. You're not supposed to. Only lunch. That is it. And you're terrible people if you have cupcakes for breakfast. Wasn't that, but that's the idea. And looking down on someone. Now, are there certain things that we should do and certain things that we shouldn't do? Yes. And that's the complication here, is understanding. But anytime we add anything to Jesus, we got a problem. If I do this, or if I don't do this, Jesus is all we need. That's it. And that's what he's saying. Let's look over at the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 to 19. Mark 7, verse 14 says, "And after he called the multitude to him again, he began saying to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when leaving the multitude, he had entered the house, his disciples questioned him about this parable. And he said to them, 'Are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean.' He was saying, 'That which proceeds out of the man is that which defiles the man.'" There is an internal aspect in this, a spiritual aspect that we need to understand. It's not the eating or the not eating, or the celebrating or not celebrating, that's important. It's a heart that has been transformed by God's power. A heart that has repented and trusted in Jesus alone. And he's saying, don't give up your freedom in Jesus for a set of man-made rules. We need to avoid those legalistic systems. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Many years ago, my wife and I went to a church that had very legalistic tendencies. It was a good time in our lives. It was a growing time. There was a lot that the Lord taught us in and through that church. I know we went through, I don't know if you've ever heard of the 2-7 series with Navigators, but we were going through that at the time and we had to memorize 60 verses, 62. I don't know. It was a whole bunch and we had to be able to say all of them at the end of it. It took a lot of work. My wife had an MRI done at the time, and how many of you have had an MRI? I haven't, fortunately, but with all the pounding and the banging and going in the little tiny hole, those verses are what got her through. Because she said those verses and it took her attention. I was, on the other hand, driving a tractor, and in Colorado, dry land farming, the fields are huge. I mean, a quarter mile was one field, and you're driving in a tractor going 10 miles an hour, takes a long time. That's when I used the verses. It got me through the row. So there were things that were good that we learned, but there was also a problem because of their legalistic things. My hair wasn't quite right for them, or my wife didn't dress quite right according to their rules. Several other things, but complications, things that didn't matter, things that weren't important. What was important was the heart. And that was probably one of the biggest lessons I learned at that time. It's not the externals that matter. It's not the outside. It's what happens inside that we can't control. It's up to Him coming in and changing us. That's what we need to focus on. We need to understand that. Legalism really doesn't even slow us down. Many times it's this external form that we try and fit ourselves into this box, and we still have problems. It doesn't work. And Paul is saying, don't let someone judge you by what you eat or what you celebrate or don't. We are called out of the world. We are told to be separate from them. But we need to be careful that that external doesn't take over the internal reality. Problem is, non-believers could pass the test. knowing the Lord, being a true believer involves doing this and not doing that, and anybody could do that. But it's the heart. It's the internal change that makes the difference. We should not give our liberty up for a false teacher, Paul is saying to them. Teaching a false system of legalism. Those of you that were here, let's see, August? No. what night was it, guys? Tuesday? Tuesday night. We talked about this. There is a time when we need to not do certain things or do certain things. And in Romans 14, it talks about when it would affect another brother's walk. That is the time. So there are times, but when it takes over and that external becomes the focus, Jesus has to be most important. He is all we need. It says in verse 17, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. Those Old Testament rules and laws were a picture for the reality that we have in Christ, that we know in Him. The substance belongs to Him. False teachers, traditions of men, deception, they're all shadows. They're all just a form. Jesus is the reality. We have Him. We can have Him. When we turn to Him in repentance, the substance, the reality is here. Don't be intimidated by someone's false standard of spirituality, their do's and don'ts, thinking that following a set of rules makes you better. Jesus is all we need. We're complete in Him. Verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. There were those that said, you need to have this higher experience. In the pagan rituals of the day, you would go to the temples. There was likely a lot of drinking involved. And the idea was you could work yourself up into this so-called spiritual frenzy, and you would have this special experience and get closer to God. Doesn't work that way. But that's what they thought. And those people who had that special experience looked down on those people that didn't. There's the problem. It's called mysticism. But we think we can have, if we have this so-called higher experience, seeking after that becomes, again, our focus. Where does our focus have to stay? On Jesus Christ. He is all we need. We don't need those external experiences. And God gave us, well, most of us, brains. We have brains. We have feelings. And they both go together. We need both. But when one takes over, we have a problem. When we're focused on feelings only, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to focus on His Word. Not focus on these extra experiences. Mysticism was thought to be a deeper or higher religious experience based on personal intuition. And again, we see the shift. We shift from the truth of the Word and Jesus, and we focus on, well, I had this really nice... Sometimes, yes, it does happen that way. But what's most important? And that's what Paul keeps bringing back. Jesus is the most important. It says they delight in self-abasement. Well, you know, I am just so much better because that's the idea. That's wrong. Jesus is all we need. He is the focus. He is the one that forgives. They frequently focus on angels. I think particularly of John in the New Testament when he had a vision. And this angel came before him, and I mean, if an angel came before you, I think before me, I'd be a little freaked out. And I'd probably fall down, and that's what he did. He fell down and started to worship the angel. And the angel said, you get up now. I am a created being just like you. You worship God. The angels worship God, and we worship God. We don't need those higher experiences. These people were saying they had special visions, special revelations. They know. They've got it. And it had a tendency to lead to arrogance. Well, I've had this experience and you haven't, therefore you are a lesser. What's the truth? Has Jesus forgiven your sins if you've repented and trusted in Him? That's it. That's what we need. That's what Paul says again. It says they're inflated without cause by their fleshly minds. They think they are a spiritual elite. It's this select group. We can't be part of them because they're too good. There's a problem. All of us are sinful creatures. All of us have turned away from God. All of us are in need of repentance. That's what the focus needs to be. Verse 19. Not holding fast to the head. Not holding fast to the head. Who's the head? Jesus. They forgot. Their experiences took over their lives. That became the focus. They weren't holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. How do we grow? In Christ. Through our knowledge of Him. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to be looking towards. Turn over to John 15. John 15, verse 4. John John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me, in Jesus Christ. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We often try and shift the focus to experience. Jesus is what's important. What he did on the cross is what is important. His death, his resurrection, not those experiences. It can be intimidating when you think of people who have had visions or whatever. Well, what's wrong with me? Why hasn't that happened to me? God must not like me as much as them. That's the danger. Has Jesus forgiven you? Has he come into your life and transformed you? You've got it. That's all we need. That's what he says again and again in this passage. Scripture has to have first place. Knowing him through the word. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. We have all we need in Jesus the Messiah. We need to not be intimidated by false standards, by people's lists of do's and don'ts. We need to not be intimidated by those who claim special experiences. Jesus is all we need, and he needs to be our focus. And then we get to verse 20. It says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Asceticism is the big word for this. It's sacrifice. Giving up of everything sometimes. Sacrificing all your possessions, all your belongings. And what ends up happening is, look at me. Aren't I good? Aren't I good? Isn't it so great I gave all that up? That is the tendency that happens with this. It was interesting. There was a man by the name of Anthony who founded monasticism a long time ago. He thought it was that he should not change his vest or wash his feet. So he didn't. I don't know about you, but that would get a little smelly. Fortunately, other people at the time weren't into bathing very much either. But he thought that was spiritual. He thought that would gain favor with God. Another man, the picture standing up there is Simeon Stylites, I think is how you say his name. The last 36 years of his life, he spent on a 50-foot pillar. He thought that the path to spirituality lay in exposing his body to the elements and withdrawing from the world. That's a sacrifice. Did it help? Why? Jesus is all we need. We don't have to do that. We don't have to surrender things. Even Martin Luther, before he came to understand justification by faith, he used to beat his body. That sacrifice of self. Now, are we called to sacrifice? At times, yes. Missionaries, we probably all know missionaries. They leave this country. We have friends in Chiang Mai, Thailand. They're over there. They're the same age as us. They've got 4 kids and I don't know how many grandkids. And they're an ocean away. They're sacrificing, if you want to say it that way, getting to see their grandkids, getting to watch them grow up because God has called them. That's a good thing. But when we sacrifice, when we give up those things and say, look at me, Look at me, how wonderful I am. Again, what do? We've shifted the focus. The focus has to stay on Him who is our head, on Him who made us complete. Let's look over at Matthew 6, verse 16. Don't you love it when you turn to the right page the first time and you don't have to search? Matthew 6, verse 16 says, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." True spirituality is often hidden. It's not out there. Look at my sacrifice. It's an internal. Again, we go to the internal. The change, the transformation that comes when Jesus comes into our lives. The signs of self-denial often turn into worship of self. We should not be intimidated by them. Hold fast to the Lord Jesus. We are complete in Him. Wrapping these up, don't be intimidated by those who have a false standard of spirituality, a list of do's and don'ts that they try and force on you. Again, are there things we should do, things we shouldn't do? Yes. But when that becomes the standard, where do we focus? Jesus. He's all we need. Don't let others intimidate you by a higher experience, something they say. You're missing out. Jesus is all we need. We are complete in Him. Don't let others intimidate you by their sacrifice, by their focus on themselves. We are complete in Christ. If we have repented and trusted Jesus as our Savior, we are complete. That's all we need. It's finished. He paid the price in full. We don't have to add. We are in no way inferior to those who claim special experiences. Should not be looked down on. God in the Messiah has forgiven us and made that available to us. Don't let others look down on you because of their spiritual experiences. Don't let them look down on you because of sacrifices they have made. Jesus is all we need. We are complete in Him. The life of a believer is not based on externals. It's based on the heart. And what Jesus does there when we turn to Him, He's all we need. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. First question I'd like for you to consider today is, do you have Jesus the Messiah? Have you repented and trusted Him as your Savior? If you've never done that, it's a matter of talking to Him, praying and seeking His forgiveness, asking Him into your heart and your life. I would encourage you to do that today. If you've never done that, you just say, "Father, God, I know that I've sinned. Please forgive me. Wash me. Come into my life." If you've never prayed that, and you'd like to pray that today, I'd ask you to raise your hand, to slip it up, so I can pray for you now. I'll ask God to work in your life. Thank you. Then please talk to me or one of the elders afterwards. We can help you understand better. For the rest of us, are we focused on Jesus? Is He the head of our lives? Is He all we need? Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son, that His body was broken for us, His blood was shed, that we could be forgiven, Father, help us to seek You. To not get distracted with other things, with do's and don'ts. With the things of this world, even with sacrifice. Father, help us to know You. To seek You. That we would understand that we are complete in You. In Jesus' name, amen.